All right, this is week 3, class 1, worship in spirit and in truth. And last time we were together, we finished off with a prophecy, and it talked about the power of praise and worship and how if more people would spend time worshiping, a lot of the things messing up their lives, so to speak, would be broken off of them, or they'd walk free from those things. And picking up from that point, on page 8, it says, what is praise and worship? Well, let's go ahead and talk about that for a little bit. In our culture today, it's interesting, but we basically have described praise as being the faster songs and worship as being the slower songs. And that's okay, because when we're discussing it, it kind of gives us a point of reference, if you will. But what's interesting is that in the Old and the New Testament, in their cultures, they didn't seem to have quite that distinction. Because if you go back and you take a look at the word definitions for praise and worship, the Greek and the Hebrew words, there's not a tremendous distinction between the words translated for praise and the words translated for worship. A little bit, but not as much as what we tend to make it out here in our culture today. Now, what's interesting is that for us as Christians, we have the ability to worship in a way that the Old Testament saints did not. They had a sin nature, but we have a born-again nature. And we have the ability to worship in spirit and in truth, but they worshiped out of their soul. In other words, they did the best they possibly could with what they had. And, you know, at times when you read in the Old Testament, it almost seems like they were doing a better job than what we do. But that's just what it might seem. In reality, they couldn't. They couldn't have done a better job simply because they weren't able to worship God out of the life that we can receive through Jesus Christ. And when you talk about praise and worship, we won't go back to section 1 and read all the definitions. But to kind of simplify it, in praise and worship, we have dancing, standing, kneeling, and bowing. And we all have all forms of wind, percussion, and stringed instruments. You have uplifted or extended hands, clapping. And you have singing of and declaring God's greatness, mercy, grace, love. I mean, all these different things. You know, what you feel for Him and what He's done. You know, just on and on it goes. And this part about the singing of and declaring, praise and worship is not simply what you sing. It is what's coming out of your spirit. And that can be in the form of singing. But it can also just be in the form of, Jesus, I praise You, I honor You, I worship You, Jesus. It's the same thing, it's just you're not doing it to music, if you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. So we have basically everything that you can think of with regard to instruments and what we do. So praise and worship encompasses not just something that comes out of our mouth, but it also encompasses something that is done with our bodies. And again, this is something that a lot of people struggle with, and I can understand it because, again, you know, your personality does play a part in this. However, true, genuine praise and worship is there. It's a part of your nature. It should be coming out. And the only reason that it won't come out is if we're actually hindering it. Now, once again, we're not trying to copy other people. What we're doing is releasing out of us what's in there because of the fact that we were born again. Now, if you look over in Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at a couple of passages here and take a look at some terminology. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll just read one verse, verse 19. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, here in this, it's not talking about, and we've already covered this to a certain extent, it's not talking about a church service specifically. This is focusing more on what you do. And to kind of summarize the definition of this, we could call it private worship, meaning it's the worship that takes place away from a church setting, away from a congregation. And ideally, your private worship It's okay to use recorded music, to sing along with it and worship with it and so forth. But you get the best benefit out of private worship when it's just when you are doing it and you're not using the recorded music and so forth. You're not following along. You're just pouring out your heart to the Lord and worshiping Him. Now look over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Well, this obviously is talking about being in the presence of other people. So what we'll refer to this is corporate worship, meaning like a church service. So we have two things. One in Ephesians is private worship. Here in Colossians, we have corporate worship. And, you know, which is more important? Quite frankly, the private worship ultimately is more important. And we'll talk about corporate and private worship later on, next week. Get into that in a little bit more detail. But in both Ephesians and Colossians, the terms psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs are used. All three. And all three of these, it's the same word. It's the same word translated psalms, same word translated hymns, and so forth. Same thing. Now, this word psalms comes from the Greek word psalmos. It means a song sung with musical accompaniment. It can be one that is pre-written, one that is birthed by the Holy Spirit while being sung, or one that is created by the worshiper. Maybe fast, medium, or slow. And the word hymns comes from the Greek word hymnos, a song in honor of God, primarily declaring His greatness, maybe fast, medium, or slow. And this hymnos, or hymns, with or without musical instruments. Now, what's interesting is that what we do in our church services, most all church services, would be considered psalms or hymns, by definition now, okay? When you think in terms of a hymn, kind of remove out of your mind that book that's in the back of the pew. All right? Now, that is what that is. But for some people, the thought process of hymn means, oh my goodness, you mean we have to go back to those old hymnals? Well, no, that's not what that means. But yet, going back to the old hymnals, so to speak, in some cases wouldn't be a bad thing because of some of the song. You know, "Walk and wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Okay? Great song. Great testimony song. There's power in the blood. I mean, so many different songs that we could sing from those books. But it doesn't mean that you go back to the hymnal. It just simply means a type of song. And so when we're singing, there are two ways to sing. You can sing about God and you can sing to God. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, singing about God really would be something like there's power in the blood. You're singing about the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed. You're not singing this to Him. You're singing it about Him. There's power in the blood. You know that song, "God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me." All right? That's a song about God. But now, a song to God would be something like, "I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul, rejoice." That's a song more directed to Him. Now, singing about Him is good, it is edifying, but when you're entering into worship, singing to Him is going to get the best results. You say, well, Brother Martin, are you sure about that? Well, yeah, I am. Try it, and you'll see. Start off singing about Him, and then switch and start singing to Him and worshiping Him. And you're going to experience a difference. You know, it's one thing for me to look at my wife and talk about all the great things that she's done for me. But when I start telling her how much I love her, the smile on her face is going to get a little bit bigger. And the twinkle in her eyes will get a little sparklier. And I think we can all understand that. So it's not wrong to sing about God, but we should also understand the power of singing to Him. Because, you know, as we've read, God inhabits the praises of His people. Now, this next one, spiritual songs. This one's interesting. It comes from a Greek phrase, pneumatikos ode. And what it means is a song that typically is birthed either by the Holy Spirit or out of the spirit of the individual doing the singing. a song that is generally new, having not been previously sung. Maybe fast, medium, or slow. However, the implication in the structure, the way this phrase is used, the implication appears to be a song that is slow. Could be described as free worship. Now, this is a term that we've coined in our church, and I'll try and help you understand it. Free worship is when we're no longer singing to music that is accompanying us, meaning the tune is no longer a tune that everybody knows, and the words are no longer being flashed up on the screen. Or we close the hymnal, I guess is one way to put it. In other words, we're no longer singing or worshiping to cue cards, if you will. What we're doing is handing the service over to ourselves so that we as individuals have the opportunity to pour out our heart in worship to the Lord. What we want to say to Him, not what somebody's telling us to say, what we want to say to Him. Now, here's what I've noticed, and this has been a consistent thing, church after church after church. People are really good when it comes to following the bouncing ball. How many of you remember Mitch Miller years ago? All right, and they, you know, Mitch Miller would have his guys, and they'd be singing the song, and then down at the bottom of the screen, words would be there, and the little ball would bounce across. When you think about it, it's a variation of karaoke. If you've ever seen karaoke, it's like the early form of karaoke. And then people would sit at homes and follow the bouncing ball, and they'd sing along with Mitch Miller and all the people that were singing. Have a good old time. Well, in our church services, people seem to be really good about following the words on the screen. But the moment that you take the words away, and the moment that you take a discernible tune away, to where the musicians, either there's no music or the musicians are just worshiping. There's no discernible song that they're playing. They're just worshiping on their instruments. The moment that it gets to that point, it is incredible how many people shut up and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, they can say they're worshiping, but they really aren't. At least not the way that they could. Here's why. Because if you have to have somebody tell you what to say, then you are not focusing in on what you have become in Jesus Christ, and you're not allowing who you are in Him to come out. You're not freely worshiping Him. We should look forward to the times of free worship in our church services. It's, you know, look at it from the standpoint of, okay, all these songs that we're singing that you're leading us to sing, and that are the words are up there on the screen, you know, praise God for that, but that's just to kind of get me warmed up. Let's hurry up. Get to the place to where I can just cut loose and release it out of my spirit and worship the Lord. And what I have seen, what I have observed in many people, is that they actually become uncomfortable during free worship. Now, here is one way to tell when people are uncomfortable in free worship, either in their pew or if the church has chairs instead of pews. They'll be singing and watching the screen, and man, I mean, they'll be going at it, you know, whatever the song is, they're singing. Maybe even clapping to the beat. But they're singing, even the slow songs, they're singing. But when you get to the point of free worship, suddenly it's this. Why? I mean, if you don't care that other people see you or hear you, while we're telling you what to sing, why are you suddenly self-conscious that somebody might see you or hear you when we're saying, hey, just turn it loose. Just go ahead. It's all right. Worship Him. And what's amazing is when they do that, when people do that, when all the people around them are worshiping and they're not paying attention, they're not listening, they're worshiping the Lord. But you know, the people that really aren't into the worship, it's not maybe they don't want to or whatever, but I mean, they just don't do it and they stop. Or in some cases, you know, they'll sit down and, you know, just give it one of these numbers, bow their head. And sometimes you'll notice people that will be singing. The song that was playing before class began. You know, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know, here they are. They're getting with it. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Well, then, cut away now to free worship. That's about all that comes out. They didn't even hear that on the tape. What has happened? Well, what you've really done is exposed where they are with God. Now, some people can't carry a tune in a bucket, but they still try and sing. So then why are people suddenly self-conscious when it comes to free worship? Now, think about this. Why do we have to have somebody tell us what to say when we're worshiping the Lord? Why do we have to have somebody play a tune that we know when we're worshiping the Lord? Now, if you fit into this category of free worship, oh, and by the way, I realize some of you may go to churches where they don't do this at all. So, and we're going to be doing it a little bit later on here tonight, but this may be a whole new experience for you. I don't know. However, if you fit into the category of, I feel kind of self-conscious here when the free worship thing, okay, why? Ask yourself why. Why do you do that? Why is it that you sing really, with some volume, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, but then when it's free worship, you cut back by 50% on your volume or 80%? Why do you do that? Why do you cut back? Well, you're learning something about you. If you can blast it out when we're telling you what to sing, but when it comes to the free worship, you cut back or stop. You really need to evaluate what's going on in you concerning the praise and worship. Now, you may enjoy that time of free worship, but entering in makes it a whole lot better. Entering in gives you some benefit. When you're worshiping the Lord, some people really don't like to sing. Well, you don't have to. Here's what I mean. During free worship and you're worshiping Him, you can lift your hands, whether the musicians are playing or not, and you just praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus. I glorify your name, O Lord. You are wonderful. You are holy. I love you. I praise you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. And you just sing and you worship the Lord. Or maybe you don't want to sing. Well, that's okay. Remember, it's singing and or declaring. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you. People around you, singing, worshiping. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Glory to you. Glory. I love you. I love you. Either one. If you can't do that, well, you can do it, but if you feel like you can't, you really need to ask yourself, why not? Why are you suddenly self-conscious when it comes to free worship? It's an emotional thing. It's not a spiritual thing. What I mean is, spiritually, it's in you to do this, but emotionally, something's happening. I'll put it another way. You are discovering a stronghold in your life. Because if you're great with the cue cards and the pre-planned tunes and the words up on the screen, if you're great with that, but then when it gets to free worship, you begin backing off, you have discovered a stronghold in your life. You need to get past. Now see, I can relate to this because I was like that. I was really great with the song, Break Forth into Joy, Oh My Soul. And then when we get to the free worship, man, I shut down. I just was not comfortable doing that. It was really, you know what it is? It's pride. That's all it is. It's just pride. Somebody may hear me and think I'm doing a wrong, bad job or something. It's just pride. That's all. And you actually, if you're not comfortable, some people, they just seem to be, natural born worshipers. Well, when you're born again, technically that's true. But some people seem to find it easier than others. If you don't find it easy, what you have to do is just step out on the water and do it. You just have to force yourself to do it. And if it means you have to close your eyes to get up the gumption to do it, close them. It's okay. Close your eyes and do it. But the key is the free worship. We're going to talk about the free worship in a little more detail a little bit later on tonight. But remember, until songs were written, until songs were written, nobody had anything to sing. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, now get this. There was a point in time in human history where no songs existed. And the only way people could have worshipped the Lord is if they just worshiped him. They had to make it up as they went. You say, well, that's a problem, Brother Martin. I feel like I'm making it up. You are. And you say, but I just, you know, the only thing I can think of is saying, I love you, Jesus. Praise God. Sing it. Sing harmony with yourself. It's okay. But sing it. Tell him. Declare it. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Somebody standing next to you may think, well, why do you keep saying the same thing? You say, well, that's all I can think of to say. And you know what? When it's coming out of your heart, you better believe every time it comes out, it's like you're saying it all over again for the first time as far as what the Lord hears. And the thing is, you may be self-conscious about what you're doing when it comes to free worship, but think for a moment, who are you worshiping? The people around you? You? Or Jesus? You may not be a very good singer. I mean, it may come out all nasally and twangy, or you may not be able to stay on pitch or anything else, but I'll guarantee you this, by the time it reaches His presence, it has become a beautiful sonata. It has become a masterpiece of song to Him. That's how He is receiving it, because you are choosing to worship Him out of your spirit. You're choosing to praise Him. And He receives it as beauty, as a sweet-smelling incense, so to speak, in His presence. Stop thinking about what other people hear. Start thinking about what He is receiving from you and what He is receiving. He's not going to be turned off by what you can or can't do as far as your melody is concerned. The key is to do it. The key is to do it. That's why at our church we call it free worship. We're saying, okay, we've led you far enough. Now you are free to go on in and worship Him. Pour out from your heart what is in there. Just release it. Just release it. Praise Him. Love Him. Glorify Him. Honor Him. Tell Him how wonderful He is. It's your free time to worship the Lord. And the more that an individual understands and practices free worship, and the more that a congregation understands and practices free worship, is the more of God's presence the individual and the congregation will begin to experience. I've not been around as long as some people, but I've been in a whole lot of churches, and I have been around for a while, and I can tell you this. The greatest presence of God that I have ever experienced has always come with free worship, not with the pre-planned worship. And this is an area in most churches that is severely lacking. You know, at our church, we do have some excellent times of free worship. And it's interesting how many times guest speakers will comment to me after the service, gosh, the worship here was incredible. This is amazing. We don't find this in other churches. Len Mink was in our church here a few months back. And many of you know Len Mink is the praise and worship leader for Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And over 20 years he's been with Kenneth Copeland. These big conventions and all this other. But he also goes into churches and ministers. Well, after our Sunday night service with him, he and his wife were in the office with Kathy and me, and he commented how that what we have in our church is extremely rare in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that to make us sound better than anybody else. That is a terrible indictment on the body of Christ. For him to say, and he gets around. I mean, if anybody gets around, he gets around. And for him to say that what he experienced in our church is rare in the body of Christ, to me, that was a sad commentary on the state of the church today. Because, you know, we are advancing in our church. We're not where I know we could be in our worship, our praise and worship. I mean, where we are is great, and I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying we're still going forward in it. We're still growing in that area, still making progress. But to say that this isn't found in other churches, it's a terrible thing. Well, you know, here's the deal, guys. I've been in other churches, and I know what he's talking about. It's hard to find this. It's like people are really good with the fast songs and good with the slow songs, but then when it gets to a time where you should have the free worship, they cut it off. And I can remember, I've been in church services before where we were getting to the point, I mean, we were right on the verge, right on our toes were on the line, ready to step over into a realm of worship, you know, free worship. That it was like God's presence was standing right on the other side of the line. And it was like He was saying, come on, if you just step over, I'm right here. Come on, just do this. You're this close. And the pastor step in and stop it. Or the worship leader stop it. Or take it off in a different direction. And more than once, I have felt on the inside of me when this happened, like something just dropped. Like, I don't know. I don't know that I want to classify it as grieving the Holy Spirit, but it was like something in there just like, oh, no, don't stop. Come on, do this. Worship. You're so close to something wonderful. And then they don't. All right. Why don't they? Or why did they stop? Why was it broken off? Because whoever's in charge doesn't understand. Because if the person who's in charge understands, they're going to do everything possible to lead that congregation into that place of free worship, because that person knows what's on the other side. That person knows where they're headed. That person knows, boy, if we can just get over there, if we can just take it a little further, if we can just go a little bit deeper, we're going to have a glory explosion here in this service. People's lives are going to be changed. Powerful things are going to happen. Free worship is so important in a church service. And again, we'll mention some more about this later on. But I really cannot say enough about free worship and how that the only people that can stop it are us. We're the only ones that can prohibit ourselves from releasing this. Now, if you look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, here's another problem area. Shouldn't be, but is. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. A lot of people are okay with the first part, but boy, that second part really nails them. I once had a person tell me that it was... In fact, this person was a high-ranking official in a Pentecostal denomination, and he told me that there is no scriptural substantiation for a congregation to pray in the Spirit or to sing in the Spirit. Excuse me. But what is this? And the next verse, verse 16, he says, Else when thou blast with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? In other words, nobody is going to be in the room of the not understanding, of the unlearned. Nobody's going to be there if I'm not with anybody else. You see what I'm saying? He's talking about what happens in a congregation. Now, granted, you can do this alone as well. Well, the praying with the Spirit and the praying with the understanding, you know, we know a whole lot about that. But the singing with the Spirit and the singing with the understanding, that's where you end up, again, having a lot of people just completely drop out on you who could do this. And you know what's interesting? It's like... You can get people into free worship or start getting them in that direction, but it's like the next step is to get them comfortable singing with the Spirit, singing with the understanding, and singing in tongues. You say, well, but Brother Martin, are you sure you can do that? What's in the Word? What does the Bible say? Remember, we already have taught about praying in tongues. A lot of people, they don't know you can pray in tongues. And they'll say, oh, no, you can't do that. You just can't pray in tongues any time that you want. Well, yeah, you can. We found that out in Scripture. Let's take it a step further. We can also sing in tongues any time that we want. And Paul is saying, with the understanding and with the Spirit. So therefore, we can sing with the understanding, a language that we know, and we can also sing in tongues. The thing is, a lot of people don't want to do that. Here's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to do that. Again, they're self-conscious. Well, somebody will hear me. Okay, and the problem is what? Well, somebody might hear me. Okay, and the problem is what? Who are you worshiping? The people around you? Or are you worshiping God? Yeah, but Brother Martin, I got to tell you something. I just never done anything like this before. Well, praise God, you're in the right class. Hallelujah. You can do it. You say, yeah, but I don't know. I'm kind of uncomfortable with it. Let me break the ice for you then. Paul said, I'll sing with the Spirit and I'll sing with the understanding. I remember a guy was teaching on this, and somebody was trying to explain this to him. Now, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, but he'd never heard anything about singing in tongues. And so somebody was trying to tell him, well, yeah, you just sing. He said, well, what are you singing? Well, you just sing. You just sing in tongues. And he said, I'm trying to figure this out. And so here I am one day. I'm alone, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm singing tongues, singing tongues. Gosh, I don't know. What do I sing? What do I sing? And so believe it or not, this guy, the only thing he could come up with was an old Elvis Presley song. So he starts singing an Elvis Presley song in tongues. He's singing in tongues, but he's using a tune to an old Elvis song. That was the best he could come up with. I mean, that's him. Well, that's not what Paul was talking about here, okay? What he's really describing is free worship with the understanding and in tongues. And so when we're worshiping the Lord, and we're at that point in the service to where we're allowed now to take over. You know, thank you for the words. I appreciate the help. But now it's my turn. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. And we begin to worship Him. Oh, Jesus, I praise You. I worship You, Lord. I glorify Your name. You see how easy that was? Yeah, but Brother Martin, that's you. That's not me. You're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Right. Evidence of tongues, right? Right. And what's the problem? Well, self-conscious. Admit it. You're self-conscious. Why? Again, who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping the Lord or are you worshiping each other? Are you worshiping the pastor? Are you self-conscious because your wife or your husband are next to you? Or the kids are next to you? Or your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, grandma, grandpa, people, your best friend, whatever. You brought friends with you and you don't want to scare them off. Right? That's it. Who are you worshiping? Let me ask you a question. If everybody else in the church, or like 80% of the people are doing it, and you're not, do you understand you're now in the minority? And if anybody knows this is anything, it's going to be them noticing that you aren't doing what most everybody else is. So now, who appears strange? It's the person who's not doing it. Now, we've got a few minutes left in this. I want everybody to stand. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to praise the Lord. You say, well, Brother Martin, do I have to? Yes. And those of you listening to this by tape, so do you. Pull the car over and get out. Now, we talked about praising and worshiping Him in singing and just declaring. So here's what I'm going to do. I know this is very formulated. I'm just going to lead you in declaring, and then I'm going to start singing with the understanding, and then I'm going to start singing in tongues. Join me and everybody else in here. Join us. This is your opportunity. Nobody's going to kick you out. I don't know what it's like at your church, but nobody's going to kick you out, okay? This is your opportunity to break through some of that stuff that's maybe been holding you back from cutting loose in your church services. So praise You, Lord Jesus. I worship You. I glorify You, Jesus. I magnify You. I love You, Lord Jesus. You're everything to me. I bless Your name. I exalt You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You. I love You. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You. I glorify You. I love You, Lord. I praise Your name, Lord. I praise You, Jesus. I glorify Your name. You are holy. You are wonderful, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. I worship You. I give You glory and honor, Lord. You are holy. You are holy, O Lord. I praise You. I praise You. Jesus, I worship You. I worship You, O Lord. Okay. Didn't that feel good? Hallelujah. See how easy that was? Now here's the thing about it. You can get caught up in it. And I want to pass this on to you in the last little bit we have here in this session. If you will force yourself to sing in the Spirit in church services where people are moving in that direction, there is an anointing that will take over in that atmosphere. I have been in services to where people began to sing in the Spirit, and I don't know how else to explain it, but it was like the entire congregation began singing in tongues, and as they did this, I began sensing something is happening here, and all of a sudden, I don't know how else to describe it, but all of a sudden, it was like more voices began joining in. I began hearing people singing that I had not heard before. Now, I've heard teaching on this, how that angels actually begin joining in with our praise and worship, and that in a way that I can't explain to you, somehow we begin to hear in the realm of the Spirit the worship that is taking place along with us as we're worshiping in the realm of the natural. But there is something about singing in tongues, along with the understanding, there's something about that that seems to trigger this more quickly. And so I'm encouraging you, and if you go to a church where this kind of stuff is not allowed, then you pray about that. But if you do go to a church where these things are allowed, don't ever, ever hold back. Don't do it. You ever come visit our church? It's allowed. Cut loose and begin to praise and begin to worship. And now, begin to break. Hallelujah.